World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily World Cup podcast. We're on to the third day of the World Cup on Saturday, and four games to come, two from Group C and two from Group D. We're going to look ahead to that action now. My name is Mark Walton. We'll be hearing from Robbie Savage and Radio 5 Live's Darren Fletcher later on in the piece. But right now I'm joined in the studio by Ray Druitt. How are you, Ray?
Very good, thanks, Mark. Very, very good. A little tired after staying up for Chile, Australia.
But yeah.
All in all, good.
Good. It's been entertaining so far, hasn't it? It's been a great World Cup, all 2 days of it.
It's been incredible, actually. Obviously, the Brazil game was filled with controversy. Mexico game was filled with rain and very little quality.
Yeah.
But then Group
B. And
many
disallowed goals.
And many disallowed goals. And some strange refereeing. I went overs on the Colombian cards. I thought they should have had at least four or five cards. They were just kicking them up in the air every 5 minutes. But yeah. Nothing came there. But Group B was absolutely fantastic yesterday, wasn't it? Yesterday, of course, being Friday, yep. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was. And I suppose you could say one of the shocks of recent World Cups as well. I mean, nobody expected Holland to beat Spain 5-1. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody could have predicted that. It was... I mean, I honestly thought that Holland were going to struggle this World Cup, and I've been made to look a fool by some very good Dutch football.
Yeah, well, I think myself, Lee Phelps and Dave Kellner did the World Cup previews, and we were all very adamant that the Dutch don't make it out of the group.
Yeah.
They'll do very, very well to not make it out of the group now. I still think it's papered over some cracks, though. I still think they're a side who are probably on a similar level to England.
Yeah.
But I just think they caught the Spanish on an off day, and they certainly... they just maximised Spain's weaknesses, which happened to be their strength, which was going straight through the middle in Arjen Robben and Van Persie. But brilliant to watch, yeah, very good.
Mm. Right, shall we move on? Shall we look at Saturday's action?
Let's.
Four games to go out today.
Four games.
Yeah. It's a World Cup football bonanza on Saturday. Like I said, we're going to hear from Robbie and Darren Fletcher soon. The first game we're going to look at is the first of them to kick off. It makes sense. The 5 p.m. kickoff, Colombia against Greece. Colombia 10-11, the draw 21-10, and Greece 19-5. We'll get your thoughts in just a moment, Ray. But first, we'll go to Robbie and Darren in Brazil and see what they think of this game.
I think this could be the worst game of the World Cup. Colombia, Greece. I think you flick a coin. Massive miss Falcao. You know, they had the president, you know, visiting him in hospital or to make him get better. He's not recovered in time. He'll be a huge miss. But Greece, I'd just go low on the goals. Can't see there being many goals at all. Under 1.5 goals in this game.
I think they've got more goals in them, Colombia, still. I think Carlos Bacca might surprise one or two. He might step in and not replace Falcao and score the goals that Falcao would, but I think they've got a player who can score a goal in them, and I think you only need one to beat Greece. Greece don't score, solid at the back. If Colombia get one, I think they win. I think there's too much in the Colombia side to not beat Greece. I think Greece will hope for 3-0-0s and try and get through that way, but I just think Colombia still will have that little bit too much in the final third, even without Falcao to win.
Interesting thoughts there. Then the overriding theme seems to be not many goals. Do you agree with that, Ray?
Yeah, I think we know how difficult the Greeks are to play against, but I disagree with Robbie. I think there'll be more than over 1.5. I think you might as well play the 1-0 Colombia if you're going to go on the under 1.5. I'd probably play the Colombia under 2.5 goals, the Colombia to win and under 2.5 goals market there, because I think Colombia get the job done. They're a fantastic price on the outright alone at 10-11, I think it is,
yeah,
for Colombia to beat Greece. They do have too much firepower for them, not just Bacca, but they have Jackson Martinez. Gutierrez is probably going to start. They have James Rodriguez in midfield, and Juan Cuadrado as well, who's had a great season with Fiorentina. They've got so much quality in this side. They will miss Falcao, but I think they've got more than enough to win this group without him.
Yeah, They're an exciting side, aren't they? Plenty of pace in the Colombian side. And you mentioned Colombia winning under 2.5 goals, 21-10 on the match times goals mark.
I like that. But I think that the standout bet for me, don't complicate things, just go with Colombia win. I think this is quite a bold statement, bearing in mind the Dutch were at such a huge price last night. But I think this is possibly one of the match prices of the round. I think they've been significantly overpriced, purely because maybe Falcao's not there. I don't know if it's a naivety of the bookmaker thinking they've lost the big man and there's no one to replace him. But we all know there is someone to replace him. Carlos Bacca's had a great season. Obviously, Fletcher just touched on him just a second ago. I think they've got goals from all parts of the all parts of the field. Yepes has got 6. He's close to 100 caps. He's decent in the air. He's getting on a bit, of course. But they've got more than enough for Greece here, and the 10-11 is brilliant.
Yep. So don't overcomplicate things.
Yeah. No need to. If you do fancy a bigger price than that, I don't see Greece scoring, and I don't see Colombia getting more than 2, because we know how plucky the Greeks can be. I mean, you just need to look at their scoring record in qualifying. I think Greece scored 12 goals in their group, and they had Liechtenstein in their group. You get to play them twice.
Yeah.
You should be racking up 6 or 7 against Liechtenstein over 2 legs, and I think they managed to get 2 or 3, so they're not really going to trouble Colombia too much.
Yeah. So Colombia to get the better of those plucky Greeks. It's not a stereotype you often hear. Colombia to Inter Nellie's 8-5, by the way. Anybody wants to play that? That's not bad, is it? Right, so that's the first game. The second game of Saturday is at 8 p.m. It's England's group now. Uruguay against Costa Rica is the first to get underway there. Uruguay 4-9, the draw 3-1, Costa Rica 15-2. Back to Brazil, we'll get the thoughts of Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher on this game.
Well, I think the big question for Uruguay is, has Suarez recovered from, you know, from his injury? They've got Cavani, who's a fantastic player. Also in reserve, let's not forget, they've got Diego Forlan, who, yeah, he's getting on in age, but, you know, they've got some fantastic players around the pitch. I think they've got to beat Costa Rica by a few goals. I think this group's going to come down to goal difference. So I think Uruguay, if Suarez is fit, even if he's not fit, I think they'll win the game. With Suarez in the team, I'd go Uruguay -1, so they can beat, you know, give Costa Rica a goal start and still win.
I think they'll win Uruguay, and I think they've got to. I agree with you. I think you've got to win your game against Costa Rica to have any chance in the group. All I would say, the only caveat with Uruguay is, yes, with Cavani and Suarez, fantastic. But if you go further back in the team, they're not as strong as they were 4 years ago.
They
are. The back four and the midfield aren't as good as they were 4 years ago. Whether they can overcome that with that ability they've got in the final third, we'll wait and see. They probably can if they've got Suarez and Cavani. But I think if it's just one, then they might not be quite the force that people think they might be, even here in South America. So I think they'll get through this group, and I think they'll beat Costa Rica. But I think as the tournament goes, that a little bit of a weakness at the back and in midfield that wasn't there 4 years ago might just be exposed a bit.
Okay, so both of them expecting Uruguay to win this evening. I suppose a lot of people see Costa Rica as the team that you need to score a fair few goals against if it's tight between the other three teams, England, Italy and Uruguay. Costa Rica, though, are we doing them a bit of an injustice, thinking that they're going to concede a lot of goals? That they don't concede many goals, in fact.
No, I think we're doing a massive injustice. They'll kick the ball better than England, for one, which means you're less likely to concede as many goals. I just think it's all based on reputation, isn't it? England, Italy and Uruguay, none of which are at the peak of their powers. But because it's Costa Rica, even Costa Rica at the peak of their powers, we will just assume we can turn them over quite easily. I wouldn't be playing the handicaps, as Robbie suggests. I think that could be quite a dangerous game. We saw with Chile-Australia last night, Chile absolutely flying out the blocks, but Australia, again, one of the sides which I expect to get absolutely whipped every single game, actually came back into it, and, you know, 3-1 was maybe a little bit harsh towards the end. So people were playing the handicaps massively on the Chile game, and I suppose it turns out rightly so.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think it's going to be a lot tighter than we think, certainly without Suarez.
Okay. Yeah, Suarez not starting, from what I understand.
That's right, yeah. They won't risk him. There's no reason to.
No.
They've still got Cavani, they've still got Diego Forlan, and they've got Abel Hernandez. He got 4 against Tahiti in the Confederations Cup last year. He's had an okay season with Palermo. He's capable of scoring goals. So I think they've got probably enough in their side to score without Suarez here.
Okay. Well, a 4-9 in the match betting. So how do we play to get a bit more value?
Well, I think the main man in this team now will be Edinson Cavani. He's been playing back up to Zlatan Ibrahimovic in PSG's side for, well, all of the season. But when he has been the main man, he's got a decent record so far this season. I think he scored towards the back end of last season. I think he'd scored in 7 of the 8 games that Zlatan Ibrahimovic had missed. So you would expect. He's such a good player, Cavani. He's just not basically the man that Zlatan is. 21 in 62 for Cavani. So I would be playing the wing cast of Edinson Cavani to score and Uruguay to win, I think.
Yeah, well, that is in fact the headline offer for this evening's game. 7-4 for Cavani to score and Uruguay to win.
That's a massive boost on the outright price. As you say, they were 4-9 to win the to win. I think that's a massive boost. And I don't think they'll get more than 2 or 3 here. I think and they're more than likely to concede as Robbie and Darren touched on there. They are a little bit weaker defensively than perhaps they have been in recent years. So 2-1, 3-1 would probably be the way I'll be going. So I won't be going too heavy on the handicaps. One guy I would like to mention, Diego Godin. Mm. Obviously relatively unknown until this season with Atletico Madrid. But he's got 77 caps. Surprisingly, though, only 3 goals. Now, we've seen some of the goals he's scored this season. Of course, he scored in the Champions League final. He scored in the last game of the season at the Nou Camp to essentially win Atletico the title. I just wonder how dangerous he will be from set pieces, because the Costa Ricans are a little bit weaker at set pieces than they are in general defensive play. So I think he could be an interesting, if he's a big price, to score any time, Diego Godin. I wonder what price.
7-1.
7-1, yeah. See, that's the kind of bet I'd be looking at there.
Okay. Yeah, so fair enough. Uruguay to win, both teams to score. 2-1 is 9-1. 3-1 is 16-1. Uruguay to win the match and both teams to score is 7-2. Which is not a bad price either.
Well, they've got Joel Campbell and Brian Ruiz up top. You know, these are okay players. I think it is going to be a tight one. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think they're going to get whipped as everybody expects them to. But I agree, it will come down to goal difference. If Uruguay can get 3, I think they'll be absolutely delighted, because I don't see England or Italy getting too many more than that. If even equal in that.
Okay, so if that's the case, Uruguay will be sitting top of Group D as we go into England's game against Italy. That's at 11 p.m. from Manaus. There's been plenty of talk about the temperature there and what effect it's going to have on the pitch. Isn't exactly looking ideal either. England 2-1, the draw 15-8, and 9-5 for Italy. So the draw is the favourite for this game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. There will be England fans listening to this saying how we can do the Italians. I think a lot.
I'm one of those fans.
A lot's been made of the Italian friendlies, and I just cannot believe that we think we probably should be going into this as favourites. I think that's perhaps not the drink, but the atmosphere talking. It is a World Cup. You've got to believe, but I think we've got to be realistic here. I still personally feel this England side is average at best. I think we've made a lot of players who have proved very little, but promise quite a lot. Now, promising and proven are two completely different things for me. So if I was, me and Al Ross touched on this on InPlay Radio, I would play the draw, but because I expect it to either be 0-0 or 1-1, with a 0-0 being such a big player, you can always play a 1-0 or a 1-0 either way, correct score, and then get your money back on the board draw. So if I was to side, I would probably play 1-0 Italy.
Okay. Very unpatriotic.
That is very true, unfortunately.
I don't know if it's just me being a ridiculous patriot or whatever, but I think England can get a result here. I think the draw is the most likely result.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I've got this feeling that England might just nick it 1-0. I think unders on the goals is an absolute nailed on bet.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that.
If you keep Pirlo quiet, which is what everybody is saying, and you keep a handle on Balotelli, then I don't think Italy have that much depth beyond that.
Well, I don't think England do either. There's a couple of points why I think people are probably asking why I think England will struggle. I think the back line, as proven in friendlies, has been beyond shaky. I think our fullbacks are better attacking than they are defending, in Baines and Glenn Johnson. I think they're both going to be exploited against decent players. I think this sounds quite harsh. I think there's almost a lack of intelligence at the centre back pairing and the defensive midfielder role between. There's got to be so much communication. Italy are going to be playing one up top. Candreva and Marchisio are going to be occupying those almost number 10 spots. Balotelli will take Cahill and Jagielka's attention because he can promise so much. He can deliver. One minute he's as good as Messi. The next minute he's as good as Mike from down the pub. You know, he can offer that. So Candreva and Marchisio will be running from deep and fill in those slots, which I think there will be a certain amount of... I think they'll forget about them. I don't think they'll have the discipline or the intelligence to watch the runs of Candreva and Marchisio. And then we're going to put all the attention on Pirlo. Verratti is an incredible player.
Yeah.
I don't like him, but Daniel De Rossi is also a fantastic footballer. I think we're focusing on Pirlo, and rightly so, but I think there's so many more stars in this side that can cause problems. And... Roy's going to be so pragmatic as well. I don't think he's going to push all out attack, and I think it's going to be England's undoing.
Okay, disagreement in the studio then. Let's see what their thoughts are over in Brazil as Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher look into this game.
Well, England's team is going to be, obviously Roy's going to pick the team. What's he going to go for? I think he'll be slightly negative in his tactics. Obviously, a lot of talk about Marmark and Pirlo. But what Pirlo does, if you man-mark a great player will once in a game create space, create a chance, and depends if it's Balotelli, whoever's going to play up front can finish that chance off. And what people are forgetting, Verratti, who plays with PSG alongside Pirlo, is a young Pirlo. So if you focus too much on Pirlo, take it away from your own game. And if it is Welbeck, why is Welbeck in England's team? Welbeck's in England's team, I think, fortunately. He scores a few goals for England and he's got pace and power to drive forward. What's the point of putting him on Pirlo? So I think Roy's got to be concentrating on his own team. I don't think Italy will lose the game, and it's just whether it's going to be a draw. I think the draw is obviously the best possible outcome. Will it be a 0-0 or a 1-1? It's not going to be a 2-2 or a 3-3, so I think a 1-1 or a 0-0 is the best bet here.
I didn't realise you were listening when I was speaking about Verratti on the radio, but I'm glad you were.
Right.
Glad you picked up on that point. I think Italy win. I mean, I'm an Englishman through and through, and I want England to win. And I think England have got everything in their favour. I think that the pitch will suit the England players. I think the heat will suit the England players to a point, because you've got some old players in the Italy side. But I just think Italy keep the ball better. I think in Balotelli, if he's on his game, they've got a player who can really trouble Cahill and Jagielka. I don't think either of them turn particularly well. And I just think the influence of Pirlo alongside Verratti in the centre of midfield will be key. And I think Italy will know that they can manage this World Cup group from here. England, if England can get use the pace and get in behind them, then maybe. But I just cannot really see it any way that England win the game. I think Italy win 1-0. Maybe 2-0 with another late goal, really? As England are pushing on to try and win. I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen.
I can tell.
I'm in pain saying it. I can't. I've said it all the way through. I can't see past Italy in the game.
Okay, so the general consensus is not many goals, a draw or Italy to sneak it. What would be your best bet then? We've talked about a few bets here. What would be your best bet for England against Italy?
The draw is the big play. It takes up the biggest percentage of the market, and it's the one both sides will be happy with, a draw, because then it's one game out the way that you didn't lose. It's the cliche, don't lose your first game. Both sides will be happy with a draw here.
Yeah, England haven't lost their opening game of a World Cup for many years. I think it's something like 24 years or something.
They never really play anyone good, though, do they? In all honesty, who did they play? Who did they play last year? Well, 4 years ago they played
USA.
Yeah, probably lucky to get a
Thank
draw
you,
there.
Robert Green.
It was Sweden in 2008. Yeah. Is it Sweden in 2002 as well?
Yeah.
France 98, Tunisia, is that right?
Yes.
94 Shearer, didn't Shearer qualify. Italy are a very good tournament team. The one thing England do have in their hands, Italy generally slow starters, which has been well documented, so they could try and catch them cold. But also, just for the record, I don't rate Raheem Sterling, so I just get out there while I can.
Should we elaborate on that?
Well, I just think what are we saying? He's a good footballer, a great footballer? Are we saying he's a good athlete? I would put him in the athlete category rather than a footballer category. He's got a pace and abundance. but you've got to actually do something with it. We've seen this.
That's my problem. That's my problem on the football pitch. We've got so much pace, I don't know what to do with it.
You got me started now, Mark. We've seen this with players break through, pacey players who play on the wing break through, and we expect so much of them. And that, in all fairness, the majority of them have failed to deliver. Andros Townsend looked great a year ago. He's nowhere now.
He's injured.
Yeah, but he probably wouldn't have been in the squad, or in place of probably Sterling. You'd imagine the likes of Lallana, Barkley are probably better suited to being an England team than himself.
Yeah.
So he may well have been pushed to one side, especially with Roy liking Milner so much. Aaron Lennon broke on the scene. Next big thing. Stopped. Sean Wright-Phillips broke on the scene, scoring all types of different goals. Now, there's poor decision-making in that from the players themselves. Like, obviously, Wright-Phillips went to Chelsea and never got a game. But I just think pace can be everything if you use it correctly. And I don't think Raheem Sterling playing the number 10 role, like people want him to be, is using that pace correctly.
Yeah.
So, he's a good athlete. He's an average footballer.
I get the impression that Ray pelters, doesn't like Raheem Sterling.
I'm going to get some pelters.
If he scores a hat-trick tonight.
Oh, yeah. Twitter. Well, yeah. I'll turn my phone off.
Headline offers, we'll mention them before we move on. Mario Balotelli to score on Italy to win 9-2. Looks attractive if you fancy Italy, because he's their main threat up front. Daniel Sturridge to score and England to win is 6-1. And I think that is quite a good price. 6-1. It's not it's quite generous, because we've seen Sturridge against Peru with that brilliant goal. Was it Peru?
Yes, it was,
yes. and then he missed a couple of sitters, really, in the friendlies. But he's in the right places, and that's half the battle. And
yeah,
if England do sneak it, he's our main threat now.
Yeah, no, that's one thing that would put me off back in Italy on the outright here, like significantly, and really saying England have no chance, because in Sturridge they have a genuine player who can create something out of nothing. We saw it against Peru. Some of the goals he scored for Liverpool this season, you know, he scored two or three incredible lobs where it just didn't look possible. So he can score from out of nothing, basically. And we haven't seen that since the early days of Wayne Rooney. And I'm not saying he's surpassed Wayne Rooney in that sense, but Wayne Rooney's a bit more predictable than Daniel Sturridge. So that does worry me a little bit, but the draw is the player.
Okay, the draw then. In England against Italy. And the final game this evening is Ivory Coast against Japan in the early hours of the morning, 2 a.m. This takes place. And just a side note, In-Play Radio will be live this morning. I think it's this morning, 2 a.m.
That's madness,
yeah,
isn't it?
They'll be live for this game anyway, all the way through until around about 4 a.m. UK time. Ivory Coast are 17-10, Japan 9-5, and the draw is 2-1. And for the final time, let's get the thoughts of Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher.
Well, on Five Live earlier, we had the Quip correspondent for African football. We talked about the African teams in the tournament, and he said Ivory Coast were the strongest. On today's evidence, they haven't got much to beat in Cameroon. So, yes, they got Ghana, you know, a few other teams, but the Ivory Coast individually, you know, look fantastic. But saying that, Japan, they've got some fantastic players. Honda, Kagawa, who saves his best form sometimes for Japan. So it's good. I've been impressed with Japan. They're going to have plenty of energy. You know, they're quick. And they got quality. It's a tough one to call, this. I wouldn't go far off saying a draw. I think it'll be a few goals. I'm going to go 2-2.
I think Ivory Coast will take it. I just think they'll be too powerful for Japan. I think the big intangible for me, as far as Ivory Coast are concerned, is that Didier Drogba probably won't start. Wilfried Bony probably will. We saw how effective Bony could be in the Premier League, but is he going to be that effective in a World Cup? If Bony can replace Drogba, then I think there's the potential for Ivory Coast to go deep into the tournament. If he can't, then you can't be playing Drogba game after game after game in this kind of heat. So I think the power of Ivory Coast will win the day against Japan. I think they'll win 2-0. I think the best part of the Japan team, as you say, is in the final third. Very intricate, clever players, Kagawa, Honda, etc. But have they got the kind of players that can trouble a powerful side like Ivory Coast? I think not. I think Ivory Coast win the game relatively straightforwardly. And I think Ivory Coast's long-term participation in the World Cup could well hinge on how quickly Bony settles as a serious source of goals at this level.
Okay, a bit of a disagreement over in Brazil then. Robbie siding with Japan, whereas Darren thinks that Ivory Coast are a good bet. How do you see it?
I think this is a very, very difficult game to call. I would take the result out of it. I think both sides are capable of absolutely steamrolling the other, but equally shipping three or four goals at the back themselves. I think they're both they're both so inconsistent. You look at the last four fixtures of either side in front of me. 2-1, 2-1, 2-2 and 1-1. 4-3, 3-1, 1-0 and 4-2. It leads me to over 2.5 goals. We saw the Japanese in the Confederations Cup last year. They had that incredible game with Italy. They score a lot of goals, but they also concede a lot of goals. It's weird because, isn't it... who's there? Is it Zaccaroni, their manager? I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Japanese used to struggle to have a striker to score goals, so they would always kind of peter out of tournaments without really registering that many. But now they've got these three really, really good attacking midfielders in Kagawa, Honda and Okazaki. They almost seem a little bit top-heavy at times. So they concede a lot, but they also score a lot. So I would just play the over 2.5 goals in this one. The result is such a difficult one to call. Just take the goals. I think there's going to be, arguably, this sounds a bit stupid. I'm looking forward to this game more than any tonight. I think it's going to be certainly the most entertaining. I think we're going to get the most goals. You really don't know what to expect. You can probably, said in the others, we've covered the outrights. This is the only bet that we're completely sidestepping the outright because it's such a difficult one to call. I think it's going to be most entertaining.
Yeah.
Stay up for it. Listen to the in-play radio. It's going to be amazing. I will be. Yeah. Back in the office tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. Never mind. Over 2.5 goals, 23-20.
It shouldn't be odds on. It shouldn't be odds against for me. It should be odds on.
Yep. Both teams to score, yes. 10-11.
Yes.
And both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, sticking both together, 7-5.
Massive. Massive.
Massive.
Massive. One word, massive. Yeah, I think that's the bet for me. As I said, you don't know what you're going to get from the Ivory Coast. They've got Didier Zakora, who used to be an average defensive midfielder, now playing centre-back. Their defence in itself, 31 Boca, 33 Zagora, and 33 the ever-reliable Kolo Touré.
Yeah.
And their goalkeeper's 34 as well, so it is an aging side. Even in central midfield, Serge Dyes is 36, so they're not really going to have the legs to cover the ground, as Fletcher touched on in our preview just a second ago. Whereas I think that trio across the midfield for Japan is going to be absolutely massive. I would also interested. What's over 3.5, Mark? This is just a if it any bigger than just over 2-1. If it's any bigger than that, if I can get close to 3-1, I think that's the bet.
Oh, you can get close to 3-1. I'll give you 3-1 over 3.5 goals. Is 3-1.
Yeah. See, I'd also have a small play on that because I really think this game could be very, very entertaining.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic if potentially a whole host of goals in this. Just a couple of headline offers to mention as well, because on this game, for some reason, we have three.
Of course we do.
Yeah. Didier Drogba to score and Ivory Coast to win is 4-1. Shinji Okazaki to score and Japan to win is 11-2, and Shinji Kagawa to score and Japan to win 8-1.
Take them all. Because you can see all three of those scoring, but it's just the outright result which is the difficult one. If you have strong fancies for Ivory Coast or Japan or the draw, then like I said, I think they're going to be goals, so you could pick two or three goal scorers and probably make a bet of that. Just to back up the Japan stat here, they've kept two clean sheets in the last 17 international matches. So they don't really like defending. It's not something they do anymore. It's all about the goals. And I think over 2.5, over 3.5 as a little fun play would be the way to go here.
Yep. Don't stick a result on it then. Just go for plenty of goals in the final game. It could be worth staying up until 2 a.m. if that's the case. We've talked about all four games then, Ray. Plenty of markets discussed. What would be your best bet for Saturday of the World Cup?
I think... I'm torn between two, so I'm going to have to give you two, Mark. I think the Colombia 10-11 to win the game is, as I said, on the outrights, I think that's one of the best bets of the round. And I also think the over 2.5 in Ivory Coast, Japan is a fantastic bet as well. So I think those two are my favourites.
Okay. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Ray. Should be another good day. Day three of the World Cup. Thank you very much and enjoy the action.
You too, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ray Druitt, Robbie Savage and Darren Fletcher on the third day of the action in Brazil. Good luck with your bets and enjoy the action today. And we'll be back tomorrow with the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.